Called all the board of zoning appeals of Cleveland County. My name is Harold Morris. I am the chairman. Mr. Ed Zimmerman is one of the members. Easton Loving, Carol Walker, and Mr. Peter Von Kessley.
Peter will do fine.
First order of business, we will check our minutes from the last meeting. If it has any corrections or deletions of the meeting.
Will the minutes be accepted as presented?
Everybody in favor?
Aye.
This time we'll have the public hearing, and Mr. Robinson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Jason Stewart, the Planning and Zoning Administrator. And this is an appeal of a zoning administrator's determination that there is a violation. This is the BZA case 1803, and the appellant is 2428 Richmond Road LLC. Again, this is an appeal of a zoning determination by the zoning administrator under Cleveland County Code Section 2218-4 that the appellant is in violation of Cleveland County Code Sections 2242.1, 2242.2, 2223.2, and 2219.2 at the property identified as Tax Map 4, Section A, Parcel 27. Specifically, the violation consists of maintaining a contractor storage yard in the A1 zoning district where it is neither permitted by right or with a special use permit. Here's an aerial of the property. You can see it's adjacent to the Fox Glen subdivision on Richmond Road in the north end of the county. Here's the current aerial from Google Earth. The subject properties in this area. Here's a zoning map showing that the parcel is zoned agricultural. So again, the nature of the appeal is just that the violation was issued on February 24, 2018. That subject property is in violation of what I previously stated, the code sections in regards to agricultural general permitted uses by right and special use permit for maintaining a contractor storage yard. Also, vehicles have been observed unloading and loading materials and construction equipment is being stored on the site, as well as welding activities. Contractor storage yard in our zoning ordinance is defined as storage yards operated by or on behalf of a contractor for storage of large equipment, vehicles, or other materials commonly used in the individual contractor's type of business. Storage of scrap materials used for repair and maintenance of contractor's own equipment and buildings or structures for uses such as offices and repair facilities. The zoning administrator's position is that a contractor storage yard is not a permitted use in the A1 zoning district. And the use is not considered non-conforming because there is not any documented evidence of that type of use being present on the property in recent history, and that the violation still exists and photographs clearly show a violation of zoning ordinance for maintaining a contractor storage yard. Here's site photographs. You can see dump trucks, it's like some sort of lumber storage pipe. Additional photograph, you can see a large semi-tractor trailer, some construction equipment, several lumber type of uses being stored on the property. And from this angle, you can see some additional storage. Apparently, junk vehicles were brought back onto the site. Here's a photograph. You can see some of the piping that apparently is being used by the Williams Pipeline project as a laydown yard. Another photograph showing some storage of junk vehicles in the rear. This is the building in question. We do have some videos. I should just go ahead and play. Videos taken by the neighboring residents showing what's going on the property.
Okay.
And just a refresher of the powers and duties of the Board of Zoning Appeals, we gave you all the handouts. I don't know if Mr. Payne has anything to add to these code sections, but I just wanted to reinforce how.
If I could, first of all, the handout, I apologize for the yellow highlighting. That has nothing to do with it. It was generated by my computer. What you have here is excerpts from three of the relevant statutes. That is 15.2, 2309, that deals with the powers of the board. And you'll note that what is copied here is subsection 1, which talks about your power to hear and decide appeals from any order, requirement, decision, or determination made by an administrative officer in the administration enforcement of the article or of any ordinance adopted pursuant thereto. And it goes on to talk about, this section goes on to talk about how you hear the case, and that is that Mr. Stewart's determination is presumed to be correct. At the hearing, Mr. Stewart is charged with explaining how he came to his decision, and then at that point, the burden shifts to the appellant to rebut the presumption of correctness by preponderance of the evidence that has made it more likely than not. And you are required to consider any applicable ordinances, laws, and regulations to make your decision. 2311 is a rather lengthy statute that deals with the procedure for going forward. Most of that's already been done, so it's not terribly critical for you to be up on that right now. The last section is 2312, and it deals with the procedure on appeal for what you're doing now. And the thrust of it is that you have three choices as to how to decide this case. One is to reverse Mr. Stewart's decision, to affirm Mr. Stewart's decision either in whole or in part, or to modify any such order. So the reason I brought this up is that you have what you're used to dealing with most commonly is variances. Variance is not involved in this. It's either he's right or he's not. And the decision has to be made by a majority of the entire board. So since you have five members, the decision would have to be made to reverse his decision by at least three of you. It's fewer than three as it stands firm. So there are various other nuances and details, but that's the thrust of it. If you have any questions, I'll be glad to try to address them.
Thank you, Fred.
And staff is asking the Board of Zoning Appeals to uphold the zoning administrator's determination of the violation as detailed in the BZA 1803 staff report. And staff is open to any questions you may have.
Mr. Chairman, I don't want to interrupt your procedure as you want to have it. My name is Waverly Parker, and I represent Mr. Carol Morris and the LLC that owns this land. And before you got too far into this, I had a motion to make that I would like you to hear, because if you granted that motion, it would mean that you wouldn't have to go through the rest of this hearing. So it was my thought to raise that as an appropriate time. Actually, I probably should have put it in before any evidence had been heard, and I assume that the zoning administrator was stating what his case was going to be like as opposed to laying in evidence, so I wouldn't have any objection to the fact to avoiding repeating it. But I wanted to be in a position to make the motion I had in mind at a time that it made sense. So this would be above the time that it made sense. So I would ask Lee to go ahead and render that motion to you and ask, it's just my motion, it's not your motion, and ask that you all do what you want to with respect to it.
Do we want to grant him the power to make his motion at this time?
I have a question. What, and Fred, I think you have to answer this. What would we do with the motion anyway? Because it's not coming from within our normal board, this motion. Does it have any bearing at all, or is it just information?
Well, it's kind of hard for me to answer that because I don't know what the motion is. I don't know about short-circuiting it because the statute contemplates a public hearing and it contemplates hearing facts relating to it. So I don't know what the motion is.
Hearing facts is one thing. Hearing a motion, which is suggesting action, to me seems to be different. That's why I was asking, what bearing does it have?
Well, as I say, I can't really answer that without knowing what the motion is. Okay.
So maybe you'd be kind enough to answer it after we hear the motion.
I'd be delighted to.
Thank you.
Okay, board. Everybody in favor of making this motion?
Mr. Chairman, I would offer that, again, it's not originating within the board. It's the actions of this board where motions should be provided. From the floor, if there's a statement from the floor that can be shared in public comment, I think that's entirely appropriate. And then we as a board address comments we hear in our actions. But I think it's a bit unusual to have, frankly, I find it a bit completely outside the bounds of Robert's rules, which we're bound to.
It is not intended as your motion. It is a motion that you... It is a request, if you want to put it that way, that my client wants to make of you, and you can act on it. You can act on it by making a motion to do what is requested, or making a motion not to. Or you probably could just say, let's go on with the meeting and not bother about that. It was your right. It's not your motion.
So it's really
but
a request.
This is unlike a usual public hearing, this proceeding has judicial effect. And so I'm trying to give you some ideas. Mr. Payne will give you his ideas. I'm trying to give you some ideas of what may be worthwhile. And the nature of this motion was such that I thought that it would save you time if you agreed with me. If you didn't agree with me, nobody undertook to take any action based on what I had to say about that.
So are you saying you're going to suggest a motion for us to make?
That would be a good way of looking at it. It's a position that my client wants to take, and you can do with regard to it what you want to.
That's highly irregular.
Well, it wouldn't be irregular in court. And as I said, this is a judicial proceeding. It's not like a variance situation, or not very much like it. It's not at all like the special use permit situation. This is the situation in which the question is there a violation or not? And that depends upon a lot of things. I'll just simply tell you, if we're taking more time to talk about it, then it's in my opinion, it's worth. So I'll simply tell you what I would ask you to do. There are two zoning folks.
Mr. Chairman, have you recognized the gentleman to speak from the floor?
Well, if I don't have leave, I will be quiet, and we'll just deal with it when the matter gets on appeal. But I'm asking for the right to ask for a simple thing, and I don't think you'd be that concerned about it. We've spent more time on its work already.
I think it's just out of order at this point, and the evidence can be presented, and it's recognized.
But I haven't presented that evidence yet.
No, I'm saying you haven't had a chance.
That's the only approach to it. It's fine by me. Actually, it isn't fine, but, and I would object to it. But I understand it.
At this time, we will do public comments. If you want to speak, you need to sign in and give us your name and address.
My clerk will sign me in if you like. I don't get up and down too easy.
That's fine.
And I usually stand for matters at this time, but if you'll permit it, I will remain seated. It seems to be not much of a problem. Things are not that formal. I would just as soon not have to keep hopping up and down. So, as I said, my name is Waverly Parker. I'm an attorney. And what I propose to put on is evidence of a vested right. Well, Mr. Payne will, I'm sure, tell you what he thinks the vested right is. I'll try to tell you what I think it is. And then as soon as I've done that, I'm giving you an outline of what I propose to show. I have a couple, two, three witnesses, and I would like to ask questions of so that they can, they're not learned people, so it would be a matter of putting them on in a chair here someplace, letting them answer questions. And again, as is done in judicial proceedings, typically. And then I will just conclude. So the motion I wanted to make was that this matter be continued until, I will say that, until such time as two other cases in Brevard County that have been brought that are pending are resolved. They involve the zoning of the property that is the subject of this. And if that zoning, if my client were to prevail in his position in those proceedings, it might moot MOOT the necessity of reaching a decision on this point. Now, you didn't want to entertain that. It's a time to reason. I wanted to mention it earlier. It's obvious on the stage that had you chosen to grant to have to entertain it, you might have saved time depending upon what you felt about it. So, I'll just go right ahead and tell you what, having told you what the preliminary thing was, I'll just go right ahead and tell you what I think the situation is. I don't disagree with any of the law as Mr. Payne gave it to you, but there is more law that is applicable. There is such a thing as a vested right, and one gets it by using property in a particular manner. One and one's successors get it by using property in a particular manner. Prior to the time the zoning which would restrict that use is put in against being. The ordinance in this county was the original one that was passed in 1974. There may have been some additional restrictions since then that might bear on the matter, but the primary period of time in that regard was back in 1974. Well, what is this animal called a vested right? Well, it's the same as your vested right to take water from somebody's well or to walk over somebody's land or to own the land. And when you own it, you own it. If it's vested, you own it. That's the point. And if then a county or locality acts to take away that right, the result is a taking, which can be in violation of the Constitution of Virginia and the Constitution of the United States unless it is paid off, essentially in condemnation proceedings. Property is not allowed, property, a vested right is property. It is not allowed to be taken without due process nor without just compensation. Zoning ordinances in particular have always recognized this, and there has always been a section in the state, part of the state code that talks about this, that said that says that vested rights are preserved. The reason for that is, if vested rights are preserved, then you don't get into the problem about having to sue a county for compensation. And so that's there for a reason. It's just like two sides of a coin. One side is just compensation. The other side is a vested right, and if you have a vested right, what's the result? Well, the result is that the vested right, just like it was in its inception, is ahead of the county's ordinance. That means it's ahead of the whole ordinance, not just one piece of it. And that means that the kinds of classifications that you have in your ordinance are irrelevant to whether or not a vested right is going to be violated by some zoning provision. So, what does matter? Well, it's the usage. Well, that won't surprise you. It's not what somebody says about the usage, that this is such and such under our ordinance. It's how it was used at the time the vested right rose, and later. And I'm going to give you evidence about how it was, this piece of property was used at the time that back in 1974 and later. And the idea is for you to understand that my client claims a vested right. To some extent, I think the county may acknowledge it, but the terms of its acknowledgement are in terms of its definitions under the ordinance, and as I said, the ordinance is subject to the vested right. Just like the ownership of your own land would be subject to that. So, the zoning's not going to take away your ownership of the land. It's the same kind of thing. So, take a look in this evidence as how the property was used back before 1974 and since. All right, in order to do that, I start off with something here. And I think we've got lots of copies that we could pass around. The rules of evidence that would apply in court don't necessarily apply here. This is an affidavit of Ms. Barbara Cosner. Now, and I've tried to pass them up out so everybody can see it. And I ask that you take that into account in determining the usage of this property at the time and subsequent to the time this vested right allegedly arose. Ms. Cosner says who she is in the affidavit, but to shorten that part of it, I don't think it's particularly an issue. She's the wife of one of the people that started the original use on the property of the company that put cars on it, that welded on it, that broke down cars on it, they put cars back together on it. That's those are pieces of metal that it was working with. I did own these things in 72, 73, 74 before the ordinance. Many of them have been continued. And so the simple upshot of it is, if you read that, you will see that Cosner is telling you that if she's that old, she's old enough to know. See, those are her personal observations as to the usage of this property that created the vested right. And now, it seems to me that when we finish with this evidence, the burden is going to shift to the zoning people to show you that the usages that are on there now are not the usages in our evidence. They cannot do that, as I indicated before, by telling you how it would be classified under the zoning ordinance. The zoning ordinance might as well not be there if there's a vested right. That was so much so the case that the courts have held initially, that the ordinance was not there, that because boards of zoning appeals were creatures of the ordinance, that the board of zoning appeals couldn't determine a vested right. Now, the statute in Virginia has changed since that, and you do have jurisdiction to determine the question, subject to appeal, the question of whether or not there is a vested right. So that's not an issue, but in the process of saying that, the court said, and this principle is still there, that vested rights were ahead of the old ordinance. That's why in those days the Board of Zoning Appeals couldn't deal with the issue of vested rights. So, all right, well, we have some other evidence for you. Mr. Herman Johnson, are you here?
Yes, sir.
I don't know where you want Mr. Johnson to speak.
He can stand up right there. Tell us who you are.
I'm Herman Johnson.
And your address?
3186 Rideson Road, Farmhouse, Virginia.
All right. Go ahead, you have 3 minutes.
Got 3 minutes. All right. I work at Cosner Brothers, stayed in the street 4, 5, and 6 part time because I went to school. We went down here work, you know, the counter credit. And we done anything come along, it was like old country shop. If someone come in and something broke, we welded it, stuff like that. Worked on different things, it was built cause of running junkyard. You know, we done everything in house. You know, if someone broke down, we took care of all of it.
You said that included welding?
Yes, sir.
Did it include putting metal parts together?
Yes, sir.
Did it include taking metal parts apart?
Yes, sir. Yeah. There was nothing in there that we did. The voting center, you know, no work at all.
Did it include storage of automobiles?
We had storage of automobiles, and it had school buses with parts in them that we, you know, stuff like that. And okay. We built racks in the school buses, you know, to store the parts in, and welded all that.
All right.
Yeah.
Did the cars pretty much that were on that cover the whole ground at that time?
Yes, sir. I think it was about 250 acres. You know, we had Chevrolet's in one section, Finance in another section, stuff like that.
Were these operative vehicles?
No, sir. We had them in the shop, took motors and transmissions out of them, and carried the rest of the steel for storage. And the parts off of them.
Did people come there to to buy things or get things?
Yes, sir. They come at about cost and stuff like that all the time. Yeah, we worked on the own trucks and rigs, and we had some tractors, and we put truck stem and all that stuff.
Transportation, but did what kind of vehicles came to bring you the
well, you know, vehicles? When they had the crusher, they had come in there, what tractor trailers, you know, to pick up the cars and stuff in, and you know, had rackers to bring the cars into the truck service.
How long did you continue your association with that?
Well, I'm still working, work at College of Brothers Body Shop now. So, and, you know, work there summertime, school time, went to school, you know, part time, come in after the evening, doing that time.
You see, this cost was just. I don't know that I've shown you this before. Can you handle looking at that all right?
Yes, sir.
If you look at it and tell me if you think there's anything wrong about Ms. Cosmas' description of the way the property was used at the time you used, please tell me.
It's been right. Well, I remember everything, you know, like he had put it.
Thank you, Tom.
Mm-hmm. Brother, I didn't feel that. I think she did pretty well work.
All right. Thank you. Before you sit down, we have a question.
When did your present client buy the property?
Mine? Oh, you're asking me.
Well,
I'm going to put him on a little bit, and I could get him to answer that then. Perhaps. But if you, when did you buy it, Carol?
November 15th. Yeah, November 15th.
2015?
I don't know if it makes any sense to you, but when you buy property, you buy what comes along with it. I mean, they had a vested right.
That's a debatable question. So we'll get to that later.
It's an appeal question, all right, but
we'll get to it later.
You all have the right to decide the law at this point.
Mr. Chairman, can I ask the witness?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Johnson, can you hear me okay?
Sir.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Because that was a good question. You've described the auto salvage operation.
Yes.
We all knew.
Uh-huh.
I litigated that case 30 years ago, so okay. I remember it too.
Uh-huh.
And you've had a familiarity with this property really for many years?
For many years, yes, sir.
Everything you've described that I heard, that I heard you say, was some aspect of the salvage yard. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Was there ever a time in your experience that the property was leased to a contractor for a business other than the salvage yard?
Or something? Not to my knowledge, sir.
Did you ever see accumulations of things like large steel pipe?
No, sir.
And when I'm talking about large, I mean several feet in diameter.
You know, I would say I remember Bo was buying, you know, pipe to make the racks and stuff like that with.
Right. I'm not talking about that.
Yeah.
Have you seen the pictures that the staff put up?
Yes, sir. Just put it.
Have you been by the property in the last, say, 6 months or so?
Yes, sir.
Those big blue pipes is what I'm talking about.
Yes, sir.
Are you familiar with them?
Yes, sir.
Did you ever see any such materials as that on the property for the last few months?
No, sir. You know, not to my knowledge.
I'm just asking for your observation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, there are other things on the property in these pictures that I think you've seen them on the property. There are large stacks of what appear to be timbers.
Uh-huh.
Maybe, I don't six by six, eight by eight, something like that. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, sir.
Was there ever any inventory like that on the property when it was operated as salvage yard?
No, sir, not to my knowledge.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
May I ask him a question in response to what you said? It won't be long. Just in response to what you elicited from him.
That's
a question from the chair. Go ahead.
I just want to ask you, was there plenty of metal on that property?
Oh, yes, sir.
Was the metal pretty much as big as the pipes?
Well, yeah, I guess the collar and all and stuff like that. You know.
Your place has always dealt with metal, is that
yes,
right?
Sir. Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, more people than one.
Yes. Andy Johnson?
You want to state your name and address first?
Andy Johnson, 1215 Deerfield Road.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Mr. Johnson, what do you know about this property?
Worked there from 78 to 81. Up there, went to the body shop owned by Cobb Brothers. Been there ever since to live. Pretty much same thing. Herman said we worked with a cane, whatever needed to come along, we did. My boss used to go by what we all go always call Poway from Virginia Power. That's what we fixed and made rigs out of. Go pick up cars from over in the field, raise them up. All that was made out of pipe, just stuff laying around the shop there. All welding, cutting, just all homemade stuff, and winch mantlers on it, and all that. So, like he said, if it needs to be done, we got it done. We know that source and nothing like that.
But that was pipe in use on the place at that time, wasn't it?
We always bought things, certain things. That's what we used for the boom. There's pipes run up through there, put a hole in, put a winch on them.
Only difference is the pipe wasn't so big.
Not as big.
But the cars were bigger.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Okay.
Anyway, Mr. Johnson, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Did you hear the questions I asked Mr. Herman Johnson?
Mm-hmm.
Would you agree with his answers to those questions?
Yes, sir.
With respect to the pipe, when you described having pipe that you either bought or acquired somewhere and used on the site, is that right?
Yes.
Did I understand you correctly?
Yes. Right?
Did you ever see pipe brought onto the property, processed, and put in place on a permanent location off this site?
No.
What about these blocks of wood that Mr. Johnson described, Mr. Herman Johnson described, the ones that are shown in the pictures on the project? You can see these. Could you point out? I'm directing the staff to point out on the projection here these what appear to be large stacks of big timber.
Mm-hmm.
Anything like that on the property?
No. I do know they store it right beside the property now, right?
I'm sorry?
They do store that right beside the same property.
Well, what you see here are pictures of this property.
I'm saying.
It's not of the adjacent property.
Right.
This property.
They do store them on adjacent beside the property, right?
I don't know. What I'm telling you is what I'm seeing in the
picture. Power owns that. And they store that very same thing beside them.
But this is. Let me put it to you this way. Looking at this picture, there appear to be big stacks of these large pieces of wood.
I agree.
I call them timbers.
Mm-hmm.
That's on this property, is it not?
I don't know. Not by that picture. I can not tell you yes it is and no it ain't.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Carol Morris. Now speaking, he'll be the last person, I think, that we'll have.
You want to state your name and your address, sir?
Carol Morris, 1504 Golf Hunt Road, Madison, Virginia. I'm the owner of the property.
You have 3 minutes.
Actually, You own the property through an LLC, right?
Yes, yes, sir.
What's the name of that LLC?
2428 Richmond Road LLC.
And what was your, tell me what you know about this property from the first time you knew anything about it. How old a gentleman are you now?
I'm 60 years old. I started doing that now when I was about 14 years old. My brother, he run a body shop. We go down to Saturday by parts. They pretty much was the biggest salvage company around. As we went down there, they would be just mailing cars, putting motors in cars, selling cars. They stored cars for the insurance companies until they settled the claims. After I became 16 with the drive, I started going down buying cars myself from Mr. Dallasner. Continued to do that as long as he run the business. When his sons took over, it kind of faded away, and they lost their contracts and didn't have the volume of cars that they used to have. They added onto the building over the course of 8 or 10 years, looked like 2 or 3 different times. They'd be putting racks up, welding. They had 140 school buses. All of them had pipe racks welded in it. Purchased the property in 2015. There was piles of old rack and piles of pipe. Like I say, 140 school buses with pipe racks in them. I bought all their inventory. There was 2 welders in the shop. They had a wire feed and a stick welder. So they continued to weld the whole time. There was 2 large piles of pallets where they used to ship parts. They were on a national delivery service. So that was a big pile of wood pallets right next to where the property line is, where they used to ship parts out. I said, the guy there now has a welding company, it's KB Welding, and he pretty much is a welding shop now.
Did they weld their own property and other people's property?
Some of the Dallasners. They welded their own. I don't know about other people, but I know they welded their own. When they built a new section on the whole upstairs, it's pipe racking. They put the decking in, the floor, and all the pipe racks. And like I say, when we cleaned the property up, there was piles of pipe from 24 inches down where they used different stuff. And say, Mr. Cady, the biggest pipe I've seen there is a 30-inch pipe. There ain't a whole lot of difference than a 24 on a 30-inch pipe.
You saw 24-inch pipe?
I cleaned up 24-inch pipe that was laying around in piles where they had cut pieces off and used for different stuff.
When did you do this clean?
I finished in April of 17.
Yeah. Okay. Was that in anticipation you hoped that the property would be rezoned?
I was told by LKQ that if I cleaned it up and had it ready to go, they were interested in buying it. So I did what they asked me to do. I cleaned the property up.
And how many buses were on there when you cleaned it up?
Right at 140.
And talked about welding inside of the buses.
They had pipe racks down both sides where they had welded together and then put mesh on top of them and shelves. It was 4 in each bus, so we pulled them out and cleaned the buses out and bailed the buses. But it was probably 25 or 30 tractor trailer loads of pipe welded together in that place.
So when your zoning didn't come along initially, what did you do to be sure that everybody understood that you were claiming these vested rights? What did you put on?
Oh, I'm sorry. I started putting cars back on the property. Since I couldn't get it rezoned, I'm going to have to go back into the salvage business, so I started putting cars back in. Mm-hmm. Haven't started dismantling yet. I'm still waiting for this process to be over, but apparently one of the neighbors in the subdivision called the DEQ and had them come down to an inspection. They couldn't find anything wrong. Everything was good with the welding guy and the cars. As long as I'm not dismantling them, I can store. I don't need them for it. Right now, we are kind of at a standstill.
Is it your intention to exercise your vested rights to maximum, to your maximum ability?
Yes, sir. If it hadn't been the LKQ calling me to buy my property, I'd still been in the salvage business on this, whatever come about. But I took them at their word, and apparently that wasn't the right thing to do.
And LKQ is, don't know exactly, but somebody that looks something like a contract purchaser or a option purchaser from Amber Hill LLC behind you, which was also owned by Cosmo at one time.
Right.
And then when one of these gentlemen testified, it was however many acres, a lot more than is in there now. That included both the Amber Hill property and what is 22 acres that is your property.
It is 140 acres altogether in college when it was altogether.
How dense were the cars?
They was right on top of each other, other than the roads between them at school.
That's part of what you claim the right to do, isn't it?
Yes, it is. There was 800 cars on my property, 140 school buses. And it wasn't quite full, but it was close. It was probably 3/4 school on my property.
Wait a minute. Anybody on the board have a question on this thing?
I have some questions.
Okay.
Mr. Morris, the staff report says that you leased this property to more than one contractor for a storage yard. Is that correct?
At the time that the thing was, yes. No longer that way.
I'm not asking about now. I'm asking what you did in the past.
When I found out, I leased it to two people.
And who were those people? And I don't care about the individuals, but what business were they in?
Both of them was in the welding business.
Now, that's not quite accurate, is it, Mr. Morris?
One made cages that go in the ground.
They're pipeline companies, are they not?
No, this is KB Welding's what he operates as. I've got his business card if you'd like it.
And what do they operate? What do they weld?
They put the safety valves in pipes for the gas line.
Okay, so they're, if you will, supportive of the pipeline company.
I don't know about the pipeline company. They weld valves in the pipes and take them off the property is all I know.
Okay, that's what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
Now, these pictures show very large, I guess they're new, they appear to be new sections of pipe. And there's talk in the staff report of having this property used on the Williams Pipeline project.
I have no idea.
You have no knowledge of that?
No.
You don't know
other than what y'all said. I've never talked to Williams or asked a guy about Williams.
You don't know where these pipes go?
They're gas pipes, but I don't know if it's Williams or who they are.
Okay, they're gas pipes. So you know that they're intended for a gas pipeline.
He says he repairs gas pipeline, yes, sir.
Okay. And those pipes, whatever's done to them, they don't stay on the property. They're taken away and put in the ground to carry gas.
I assume.
That's what you understand.
Right. That's what he does.
All right. And the other KB Welding, did you say they weld valves? Is that
safety valves.
Safety valves.
Shut off valves so if it leaks, it shuts the gas.
Okay. Shuts it off. So they're part of this operation, I assume. I mean, it sounds to me like that there is, they help out with the pipeline operation. Is that what your understanding is?
He said he repairs gas pipes.
Okay. Well, there are no gas pipes on the property. I mean, the gas pipes are not installed on the property.
No.
Now, you said that you, excuse me, when you bought the property, there were a number of vehicles on the property. I think you said there were 140 school buses.
Mm-hmm.
Were there a number of passenger cars and trucks and things like that?
About 850.
You removed all those, did you not?
Yeah.
And you stopped using the salvage yard for a period of time and instead leased the property to these two companies to deal with this pipeline gas.
I still had parts in the building. I crushed stuff in the field, but I still had parts inside the building.
There weren't any cars in the field?
Mm-hmm. One, it was a tractor and trailer body that I hadn't moved yet. It's still there.
Okay. Were you actually operating the salvage yard at that point?
At what point?
The point when you took the 800 cars off?
Yeah, I ran it up until
the end of April as far as having people there, and then I used it just to build it.
April what year?
17.
17, okay. So after April of 17, you didn't use it as a salvage yard?
I used the building, not the property.
What did you use the building for?
I still had parts in the building. I hadn't moved them all out yet. They were in the shelves.
Storing the parts? You didn't keep cars there? You didn't, did not work on the cars? Is that accurate?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the only use that was made of the property after April of 17 were these leased operations?
And parts in the building, yeah.
And the parts in the building. Let me get into a question that Mr. Parker raised in his, what I call his opening statement. The staff report reflects that you filed a request for the Board of Supervisors to rezone this property from A1 agricultural to I1 and I2 industrial. Is that right? And you remember public hearings on those two applications?
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of comment from the neighbors, was there not?
Right.
About the ongoing operation with the pipeline?
Mm-hmm.
Board of Supervisors denied the application for rezone, did not.
Mm-hmm.
That was in March of this year. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
You never appealed that, did you?
Yes. Yes, you haven't been served with the process yet, but it has been appealed. It was timely appealed.
Okay. You haven't had hearings on that. So it hasn't been served?
Yes, it was on the 30th day after the decision of the Board of Supervisors, which was the end of the time that we had a right, Mr. Morris had a right to appeal that.
27th
he filed an action in the Circuit Court of Louvana County, and I have not as yet, I did not ask the clerk to get out of process because I had an idea that as time went on and these things matured, the county would probably appear in that case without service of process, but we have a year to serve the process.
Okay, thank you.
May I ask him one more question? It was about pipe coming and going and being utilized elsewhere. When vehicles were on there, did people come and buy the vehicles for restoration purposes?
They buy parts, they buy the whole cars.
So they came and bought things to use elsewhere, did they not?
They sold used cars, they sold wreck cars, sold parts, sold a little bit of everything.
And when did you, Mr. Payne asked you if you, and I don't think he meant to elicit to testimony, it might not be complete, but you put cars back on that when you found out you weren't going to get the rezoning you requested. You put cars back on that and preserve that use, right?
Yes, I don't have a lot of choice. I have to make a living somehow.
Well, how did you, when did you put cars back on that?
It started probably a week after the denial of rezoning.
Did you ever tell anybody that you didn't want your vested right anymore?
No, sir. I told him that you told me that I'm going to put cars back, go back in the sandwich business, because I didn't have an option.
Okay. That's Mr. Payne, do you have a question?
No.
I have a question.
One more question.
Yeah. What did you do before you took over
the salvage? I run a salvage yard in Rockingham.
I have a couple of questions too, Mr. Chairman. Who again is LKQ?
The biggest salvage company in the world.
Okay.
Auto salvage.
So they led you down the path as far as buying the property?
They had a meeting on my property with Jason Smith and Brad Robinson. And they met in my office, and then they went out and talked in the driveway. And when the meeting was over, the guy from LBQ said three things need to happen for this to be a done deal. They buy my property. They buy 40 acres off the Cosers in the back. Blue Mountain County rezoned it. He said they've already promised to have water here in front of the building in 18 months. And that's the way we left it in February. It was February 2nd.
So you proceeded with the purchase without the rezoning taking place?
I didn't need a rezone to run a salvage yard.
But you did in turn ask for rezoning.
After they rezoned the land behind me,
right.
I figured I needed another use for my property.
So this is a question for you and also your attorney. If you have a vested right, why would you even pursue rezoning? If you have a vested right, what's the point in asking for a rezoning?
I want a different use for my property than a salvage yard. And the only thing I can do is a salvage yard according to Blue Mountain County. So I asked for rezoning so I could use it for something different. They told me I could either use it for agriculture. Well, basically, they told me I could use it for agriculture and nothing else. I couldn't sell parts.
Okay.
Thank you. Anyone else want to speak?
We're on the list.
Okay.
I'll go first.
First of all, your name and address.
Yes, sir. My name is Carrie Clark. I live at 504 Glen Circle in Troy. My property is right behind Mr. Morris's. And my family and I moved into Fluvanna County at this address at the end of January. And at that point, that property was vacant. Very quickly, it became filled with construction materials being stored, pipes, large tanks coming in that were meant to be stored underground, and ongoing welding, a travel trailer complete with a resident, animals chained to the fence without shelter, and ongoing loud activity. About 1 week in February, we were awoken by bright lights, a lot of beeping, and it was a tractor unloading a tractor trailer at 1 o'clock in the morning. In the neighborhood meeting in February, on February 15th, Mr. Morris was in attendance and attempted to tell everyone that it was someone who'd gotten into the property, and those were the security lights. Security lights don't make a beeping sound. And they don't, deer don't come on the property and make a beeping sound. So we could see pretty much clearly because it came right into our bathroom window. And at that point, when things weren't going Mr. Morris's way, that's when he threatened the community, threatened the board, the planning committee. I'm going to put the cars back on because that's all I can do. Well, the work has continued up until at least Saturday, the 12th of May. There have been, the cars did come in around mid-March, but they were mostly coming in either under the cover of darkness or through the back way, not through the front way, and it wasn't until probably April when they started coming in through the front. Their DEQ was called. A lot of these items were questioned because nobody could prove it. Well, DEQ did come back. Yes, there was welding. They were welding the little pipes onto the larger pipes or whatever it was. Yes, there was a trailer there. Yes, there was someone living there. It was the vice president of this welding company. No, the waste wasn't being dumped. And we were told by DEQ that the waste was being taken out, but there was porta potties, of course, on there. And yes, the junk cars were back on the property that he had leased the property to Charlottesville Wrecking, and that only, quote unquote, two of the vehicles were Mr. Morris's. The rest were Charlottesville Wrecking. Let's see. So that kind of summed up all of that. My concern is that Mr. Morris does not live in this area. He has no vested right or vested concerns or vested interest in the area. And that is shown. Should I stop?
No. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. I'll be real brief. anyway, if he had a vested interest, he would have addressed the issues that were brought before him. However, he has not addressed those issues. He continues to thumb his nose at the rules and regulations and allows the work to continue. And as he answered some of those questions brought by the attorney, he has no idea exactly what they're doing on there other than he assumes. So those are my concerns. So that's all I have.
Board, does anybody have any questions for me?
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
I'm Joe Ryan. I live at 113 One Circle in the Fox Glen subdivision. I live right behind M&M. I've lived at Fox Glen since 2014 when M&M was owned by Cosner Brothers. M&M and Kibbe have been conducting industrial scale operations since January of this year, from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. and later, to include all day on Saturday and on Sunday afternoons. Many mornings and evenings in our subdivision since January have been filled with a loud beeping of equipment backing up, as you heard on the video, as well as the sound of diesel engines moving this equipment around. One morning I was shaving in the bathroom getting ready for work and something got dropped and my house shook. This was never an issue when it was owned by Caution Brothers. Whatever the vested rights, this is what not... I rented the house a year before I bought it, okay? We almost didn't know Cosner was there. If it had been issues, I wouldn't have bought it. This was never an issue. Being able to operate as a grandfathered junkyard in no way allows this level of heavy industrial activity that's been occurring on the site since January. And Ms. Morris has made no effort to respond to these issues that have been raised since then. So, in summary, Mr. Morris has been consistently conducting activities on the site that are completely outside of what the property is zoned for, and what the grandfather junkyard uses a lot for. I used to be an urban planner. I did it for 5 years in South Carolina. We would never have allowed these uses next door. And as far as LKQ and coming in, there's been hearings. There's been, okay, when are you going to do these activities? What time of the day? This and that. All very regulated, not just showing up and doing these things. I mean, this first started happening in December, 5:30 in the morning, I get up for work, and there's floodlights going on. Okay, and it's been going on since then. No planning, no coordination with the county, nothing. Just show up and do whatever you want to do. Thank you.
Anybody have any questions?
Thank you.
Anyone else want to speak?
Come on, guys.
State your name and address, please.
Kenneth Barr, 2969 Richmond Road. I'm worried about climate for business in our county. Some of the properties around here, I took a picture today, right across the street, Levin Auto LLC, and B1 Zoning is operating an unlawful contractor's yard right across the street. Right next door, if you look on the overhead to the right of the little airdrop, that gray lot is vacant in that picture, but this morning, multiple tractor trailers are bringing in more supplies for an off-site contractor. They look to be logging mats, if I had to guess. If you look up and down that road, a lot of the houses have commercial looking activities. Here on the way to this meeting, right at the intersection of South Boston Road and Union Mills Road, a contractor yard complete with commercial trucks at somebody's house. So what I'm speaking to is the inconsistent enforcement. Our county has a very diligent code enforcement officer. He does a good job. He's up and down the road all the time. And I find it hard to believe he would not notice Levana LLC across the street with an unlawful contractor's yard. It would be impossible not to notice that. What I'm worried about is things like even LKQ, for example. Look at the good work of Supervisor Eager. She doesn't have to do this, to travel to Pennsylvania to try to get LKQ in here. They might get scared off if they see inconsistent enforcement. When the whole LKQ thing was cranked up, it was announced that a Fortune 500 auto recycler was coming to Flavanna County, which is a wonderful thing, by the way. We need to get some taxes in here that don't put kids in school. But all you had to do was Google Fortune 500 automobile recycler, LKQ popped up. They're there on the list. There was no reason to keep it secret. You could, anybody with minimal computer skills could figure it out in under 10 seconds flat. So all it did was make the county look sneaky. And I've picked up on this you versus me attitude with business, and I think if that continues to escalate, you know, the public finds out, business is going to be like, well, why should we come here? They have some of the highest personal property tax. You know, so I think we need to protect the business climate. Just even little things. I mean, when you get in an argument with Papa Jim's or I forgot the ice cream guy's name on Highway 15, that gets on TV, and all of a sudden it's like, wow, Flavanna County struck out a T-ball. Walmart tries to come in here, you know, or and they look and they leave. You know, you're going to strike out a T-ball, you're going to strike out in the majors, you're going to strike out big
one. Where do you go? Does anyone have a question for you?
I have a question.
Okay.
Mr. Barr, you were talking about a property where there was some, what you characterized as industrial activity going on.
It's brand new coming in today, and it looks like tractor trailers with, I got a picture of it actually.
Well,
yes, sir.
Let me ask the question.
Please. Okay, yes, sir.
I think I understood what you said. If you look at the picture, the aerial of the site, 2018 is what the picture's captioned. You see it?
Yeah. It was taken after 9 this morning when this old news.
Let me ask the question. I'm asking you if you can see this picture.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Now, I understand that there's an area there that looks like it's paved with probably gravel or something. It's gray.
Yes, sir.
Is that the property you're talking about?
That's one of the two that I just mentioned. Yes, sir.
That's one of the ones that you were complaining about, the industrial activity?
I'm not complaining. I like industrial activity. I'm just...
You were remarking about the industrial
yes,
activity.
Yes, sir.
Do you know what that property is zoned?
I do not, no.
Would it surprise you to know that it is zoned industrial?
Very good. And the one I'm talking
would
about...
Would it surprise you to know that it's in zone industrial?
No, it does not.
Okay.
That
answers my question.
The one across the street that's owned by Flavanna Auto LLC, I'm pretty darn sure is zone B1. I looked it up on Baminet, unless me too, looking at old information.
That property is off this picture to the north.
It's right across the street, essentially. Yeah, just the
well, it's...
Yeah.
It's some distance
yeah.
to the east.
Right.
And it's on the far side of Route 250.
Right.
And it's zone B1.
Right. And again, I'm not doubting any of the residents' concerns. I mean, I wouldn't want tractors beeping around at 2 in the morning behind my house. That's what I'm saying is the business people do have a vested interest. I brought millions of dollars of investment to the county just because my home isn't here. You know, it very much is a vested interest. The business people care about what's going on here. We don't want to destroy our investments. That would be suicidal. And I'm worried about the county. If you know, the news gets out that there's friction between business and the county, and that the county, you know, for example, if I get the feeling that the county attorney is against me, I'm like, well, wait a minute, I am the county too. I have a probably 10 times investment in the county than the average homeowner here. You know, I am Flavanna County. We do want to be good neighbors.
That's all the questions I have.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for your service.
Let's take a 5-minute recess.
I know.
No, the meeting.
meetings are over by now.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Hope it does.
Okay, at this time, if there are no more public comments.
Chairman, could I ask Mr. Miller to make comment?
Yes.
You're Scott Miller, and what's your employment with the county?
Code enforcement officer for Urbana County and the family.
Did that involve, among other cases, the case that we're talking about here tonight?
Yes, sir. That's good.
Did you have occasion to investigate the use of the property on that's in question here tonight, the one that's owned by Mr. Morris's LLC?
Yes, sir.
Did you tell the Well, we've heard a lot of talk about what use has been made of the property since January. And you've heard all that?
Yes, sir.
Would you say that what's been, what you've heard tonight is pretty much consistent with what you saw?
Yes, sir.
Did you see any operation of an automobile salvage yard during that period from January till, say, the end of March?
Prior to the end of March, there were no vehicle stores like they had been stored before, all wrecked vehicles, that type of thing. That started, I believe, at the end of March and progressed in the early part of April.
What use was being made of the property?
The use being made of the property was a contractor storage yard being operated on the property. The gentleman owning the property had leased the property to two companies with the purpose of installing pipe fixtures, bringing the material in, working on those materials, welding, what have you, and then removing those materials out on Route 250. I would say one other thing that I've witnessed twice during that time period on 250, where a tractor trailer trying to enter that driveway was not being able to pull in correctly. And I've sat there for both occasions for more than 5 minutes sitting on 250. It'd be 30 vehicles from one side to the other that are being obstructed and can't move. They're blowing their horns and all. And this goes on for a regular while before they can finally get that thing over.
Are you saying that they couldn't get the vehicle off the highway because of the character of the entrance?
Yes, sir.
Are you familiar with this property before January of this year?
Yes, sir.
Were you ever familiar, either personally or by complaint, with any activity such as that?
In 9 years, I have never received another complaint about anything happening on this road.
Okay. So,
okay. Okay, if there's no more public comments, then we'll close that part of it. And the board has the questions.
I have a question for Mr. Payne. I would like to know, from your point of view, how vested rights transfer from one owner to another.
Well, vested rights is a concept that is developed in zoning law and was developed at an early stage. Mr. Parker's description of them is not inaccurate in that when zoning was first developed, it was clear that certain activities needed to be recognized. I'm going to use a term that I don't like, but if people understand it, that is grandfathered. So that if somebody, let's say, had a business going on and he was zoned in a way that wouldn't allow the business, it didn't wipe out his business. And the concept was that if you were in operation at the time the zoning was applied, you could keep that operation going as long as it wasn't interrupted for a substantial period of time and wasn't substituted with another use. What's commonly referred to for this concept is the concept of non-conforming use, lawful non-conforming use. In a nutshell, what that means is that if the property is being used for a particular purpose, it can continue to be used after the zoning applies, even if it's not otherwise permitted in the district. The staff has told you that certainly prior to January, certainly historically, the Cosner operation was a non-conforming use. The property has always been zoned A1, and the staff has told you that. But the use was an automobile salvage yard, and you heard the description from the Johnsons, the two Messrs. Johnson, about what was done. But everything was done in the nature of repairing, dismantling of automobiles. Now, there's a line of cases talking about non-conforming uses and what happens if the character of the use has changed. There are several cases in particular. The first one is called Knowlton against Browning Ferris Industries of Virginia. It's at 220 Virginia 571. That was a case where there was an operation going on where a fellow had basically a pig farm, and he had a few trucks where he went out and gathered up garbage largely to feed his pigs. That was considered to be non-conforming use under zoning as it came to be applied in the county. Over the course of time, pigs went away, and it became used as a major trucking facility. And the Virginia Supreme Court determined that that was a change in the character of the use, and the non-conforming earlier use had been discontinued in favor of this more intensive, larger, different use, and therefore he couldn't keep that going. Now, there's another case. There are a couple others, but the one I'll bother you with is a case called Board of Zoning Appeals against McCalley. That's McCalley at 225 Virginia 196. It's a 1983 case. And this case is really strikingly similar to the case we have before you tonight. In the McCalley case, this occurred in Spotsylvania County, and the original use there was an automobile body shop, and it was a non-conforming use and was determined to be a lawful non-conforming use. That use terminated, and it was leased to another party who used it for what is called, in the opinion, a combination metal forge and machine shop, which did welding, metal painting, and blacksmith work. The case came to the Virginia Supreme Court in that posture, and the court had this to say about that case. The Spotsylvania zoning ordinance was adopted pursuant to Code Section 15.1492, which requires local governing bodies adopting zoning ordinances to protect non-conforming uses. So, quote, so long as the then existing use or a more restricted use continues and such use is not discontinued for more than 2 years. We held in Knowlton against Browning Ferris that where the character of the non-conforming use changes, it ceases to enjoy the exception which protected the then existing use. The board correctly adopted this to apply this test. And I'm continuing with the quote from the court. No additional evidence was presented to the circuit court in the certiorari proceeding, and there was no factual support for an argument that the character of the use had remained the same. Indeed, McCalley made no such contention, but rather argued that because the body shop fit into the category of uses permitted in an industrial zone under the ordinance, then all other industrial I-1 uses would be protected. McCalley sought exemption for this present use because it too fits in the I-1 category. The court erred in accepting this as the controlling use rather than the change of character test prescribed by Knowlton. Other than the dates, the names, and the places, the facts in that case are strikingly similar to ours. And I think that the issue...
Fred, let me interrupt. My question was, though, in a non-conforming use, which is because of a vested right that you were doing it before the ordinance, when that property is sold, does that vested right go with the property?
Yes.
It stays with the property. Nothing to do with the owners.
No, it has nothing to do with the owners. It has to do with the use continuing.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Any other questions you can board?
Questions?
I guess then the issue that we have to kind of make up our minds about is whether this is actually continuing or non-continuing. Is that what I'm hearing?
That's the staff's position, yes.
I mean, that it either is continuing or it wasn't continuing, and if the staff's position, as I read it, was it has not been continuous.
That's correct. And maybe even a corollary to that is an auto salvage yard that has big pieces of metal called vehicles. Is that equal pipe lay down yard, contractor storage yard that has timbers and as Mr. Morris, I think he made this contention or attempted to, was that a big stack of pallets equals a whole big stack of timbers that we saw in the picture. So does the use continue because those things are substantially the same?
I think my question is this, Ed. In a salvage yard, you're bringing in old stuff and repurposing it for whatever reason. What I see happening in this particular case is they're bringing in new stuff, adapting it for whatever its specific purpose is, and selling it. So it's more of a business of you acquire your raw materials, you modify them, and you furnish them to the buyer. And so that to me doesn't sound like salvage. That sounds to me like a business making product.
I would not argue your point. I do think there's
the use is different.
Yeah, it's not salvage.
It's not part of the grandfathered
use. So again, when did Cosner Brothers, or when did the use of the property of the salvage yard cease? And this would really be directed to the staff.
From what we've been told by Mr. Morris, that he became clear that use, as far as the storage, ceased in April 2017 or thereabouts, approximately.
And then he started again storing vehicles based on the county's decisions around other things within March, correct?
Correct.
So it was inside 2 years. In the case that you cited, Mr. Payne, the timeline from the Supreme Court was 2 years.
I don't think the 2 year period had anything to do with that case. It was one use succeeded the other.
Right.
Is the salvage yard use, if that was the only portion of this that was not staying a salvage yard, the other portion, which is leased out, which is not, would be definitely not conforming, it's not possible to keep a salvage yard and have the other go.
That's not really before you tonight.
Right.
The question is whether there is law to the effect that when a non-conforming use is converted to another use that constitutes an abandonment so that it no longer is lawfully non-conforming.
It's a whole property.
That's a matter for another day.
Staff's petition is this is a new, a different use in the auto salvage yard, and if it was rezoned, it would have required a site development plan, which would apply to the standards. And as Mr. Miller indicated, that would address the entrance issues and things of that nature. But our view is that it is different than auto salvage use, whether those vested rights are still established or not.
We're ready to make a motion.
All right, I call for a motion.
So I would like to make a motion based on the suggested motion on the board that we uphold the zoning administrator's determination of a violation based on the evidence that's been presented, which seems to be piecemeal in many directions, as it's detailed in the BZA 18 2023:03 staff report.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
Bless you. All in favor?
Aye.
Any other questions?
The record would be clearer if you asked for neighbors as well.
What?
If you asked for neighbors. All opposed as well.
Any nays? None.
The record then would show that the vote was 5-0.
That's enough. Any good turn?